Dan Carell, CEO of the Digital Commerce Alliance, and this is Commerce Code, a bi-weekly digital commerce podcast for leaders in card linking, loyalty and digital marketing, mobile wallets and payments, and financial data. Thanks for joining this running conversation with leaders in the industry. And if you like this podcast, come join us at a Digital Commerce Alliance event. You can learn more at www.digcomall.org. This week on Commerce Code, I'm talking with Miraj Patel, the founder and CEO of Harness. Harness is a leading financial technology platform that helps nonprofits, financial institutions, and brands grow revenue, engagement, loyalty, and community. Today, Miraj and I are talking about major changes in the college sports world, and in particular, the financing of college sports, something that's changing in a huge and unpredictable way right now. Harness has jumped into that fray by powering something called Game Change. The website is gogamechange.com if you want to check it out, as I did during our podcast recording. And you'll hear on the show what that is and what it does. We'll also talk about the machinery that makes it run, what it's set up to support, and where it goes from here. So stay tuned for Changing the College Sports Affinity Game, a conversation with Miraj Patel of Harness. This episode of Commerce Code is brought to you by Augeo, a global leader in engagement platform technologies that create compelling experiences, foster people connections, and cultivate brand advocates worldwide. With more than 45 years of experience, Augeo empowers Fortune 500 companies to deliver extraordinary brand experiences for employees, consumers, channel partners, subscribers, and members. Fueled by a holistic engagement ecosystem across workplace engagement, experiential, social activation, customer loyalty, and digital asset experiences, Augeo's mission is inspiring people to achieve more, one interaction, transaction, and experience at a time. Augeo, engagement unleashed. Miraj, welcome. Great to have you on Commerce Code. And you are, I see from just looking through the Zoom lens here, checking in from Tampa, which appears to be kind of in one piece. There's moving vehicles behind you. They're not boats, rescue boats. They are, in fact, cars. So you guys kind of doing okay there post-hurricane?
Hey, Dan. Yeah, thanks for checking in. Thankfully, most of the city is doing fine. Power is being restored to many of the major metropolitan areas. Still some folks dealing with floodwaters, which, as you probably know and have seen on the news, is what really crushes you. So hopefully everything is back and in line and we're moving forward every single day. So all good on our front. Thank you.
That's good. Well, this is the kind of thing that mobilizes not only, government agencies and whatever, but all manner of charities and nonprofits and that kind of stuff. And I know that Harness, in your history and in the kind of origin story of Harness, that's part of the story. But there's also, and especially for the Commerce Code crowd, there's always a sort of a commercial and just market, kind of story. So I'd love to hear for our listeners to kind of understand, like, how did you get going with this idea that became a company that became something pretty cool and active called Harness?
Nonprofit giving, the layer that we really zoomed into was a category that encompassed both of those, and that was affinity. My co-founder and I are products of the University in Florida, and one of the case studies that we both remember coming across our desk was that of MBNA. So listeners probably remember MBNA, and they were pretty large back in the 80s all the way through the early 2000s. And when the plastic rush, if you will, was going on with credit and debit cards, we realized that they were able to carve out a competitive advantage by not having to compete regionally or competing on price per se, but rather competing through cardholder affinity. And so MBNA's secret sauce was, let's go after the things cardholders love, their favorite schools, their favorite universities, their favorite nonprofits and missions and causes, and let's actually market our products through that lens. What happened was they were able to issue cards without any sort of geographical expectation or limitation. And they actually got better cardholders and creditworthiness cardholders as a result of it, right? College educated type clientele, which is another pretty interesting piece that targeting affinities in the right manner can lead you to the right set of customers that you're going after. So we saw that this company was massive, evidenced by them selling to B of A in 2007 for, I think it was like $37 billion or something like that. And what you saw happen the 10 to 12 years after was a steep decline in the usage of these things. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau puts out affinity card usage on an annual report, and you see these things going straight to the bottom from a usage standpoint. You wonder what happened. You know, did people just wake up one day and no longer love their university alma mater? Did they wake up one day and no longer want to support the puppies or the sick kids? That really doesn't make any sense. And so when you zoomed in there, you realized there was a switch in the market, and that was the rewards card. And issuers realized, hey, instead of earning people's loyalty by connecting them to the things they cared about, we could actually just buy it by trading in the interchange economics directly with the cardholder. And so for the fast 15 to 20 years, rewards cards have made their rise. And what Harness believed early on is, at the very least, there should be an opportunity to do both. I should be able to take any card that I have and actually program it my way so that every action I take, every purchase I make, is actually supporting something that I care about. And so that is how Harness was born into a reality, and the card-linked affinity platform that we've been building ever since.
That's terrific. I love that analysis. And I got to say, just listening to you tell the story that way, you and I haven't talked about this precise thing before. And I guess I hadn't thought about it in exactly the same way. Having known what Harness does for a while, it's helpful to clarify in my head, like, you know, how did you get this crazy idea to do this thing? It makes a lot of sense. Okay, we're going to talk today about something that relates to sports and kind of some exciting developments at Harness that are recent related to college sports. And you already mentioned that you are a Florida guy. And I don't want to, this is like almost like a religious question. I'm going to start a riot. I don't want to create any dissension in your household or whatever. I have no idea who else lives under the same roof. They went to a different college, whatever. But on a scale of like 8 to 10, where 8 is extremely confident and 10 is you've bet your entire retirement savings on it, how likely is Gator Nation to kind of turn around what appears to be a sort of a 500 season so far and just kill it and have the most amazing football season ever, for the remainder of whatever's left this year?
Oh, I appreciate the out you just gave me. The 8 to 10 scale needs to be adopted widespread. But I'm going to give us a solid 8.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, I think we've got issues on both sides of the ball, some would even say from a coaching perspective. So I'm just hoping that our young guys can get out there and compete and show that we're building something, and our coaches can, you know, get the message across to our top recruits. And I firmly believe we're going to have to rebuild a little bit. But the thing about being a big SEC school is hopefully you're no more than a few years from getting back into contention.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And continuing with football, kind of, but then pivoting back into the Harness world and financial services and everything, there have been, and we won't go down this rabbit hole, but I think people are aware, there have been significant changes in college sports that had something to do with, you know, antitrust law and other complicated stuff. But the net of it is that the financial model is different. The schools are doing stuff that's different. I think everybody's trying to figure out what the heck's going on. And so now, like, it's not, you just don't, you're the head coach of something or other, it doesn't matter what kind of a team. And you got to figure out not only the sport, but like a bunch of other stuff that's way more complicated than it used to be. And so you have launched something at Harness called Game Change. And, you know, it's part of a broad ecosystem of what must be just a massive amount of new activity that kind of in some fashion relates to this, you know, huge, you know, multi-billion dollar sector of the American economy and society. And I'm really interested to hear about Game Change in terms of what it is, what it allows consumers to do. And then, you know, I think I'll just tell you in advance with where do you think this is headed? But it's one of those things that seems to me as I look at it, like, who knows? Because there's so many different things that could happen. That it could be headed in all kinds of directions. But what is Game Change and what does it kind of let consumers do?
You're absolutely correct. There's a big shift happening in the world of college athletics. And the skinny of it is that colleges are going to have to, in one way or another, figure out how to pay their athletes. This was kind of a fast moving train, but the train has left the station. And so college players are going to get paid. They are going to get paid directly by their universities. And the universities, bottom line, are going to have to figure out how to fill a funding gap such that they can remain competitive on the field and competitive in recruitment cycles. Now, when you need to all of a sudden face up to a $20 million budget gap, right? That's kind of the regulation and the new legislation about salary caps for college athletics. Where is that money coming from? Well, usually it's going to have to come from a non-revenue generating sport. Take away from facilities, take away from other programs that athletics runs within the communities. And so it's not easy to recruit this money. And instead of it going automatically just to pay players at the threat of Title IX sports, at the threat of the entire body of work that these athletic departments are responsible for beyond football, beyond basketball, there needs to be folks, especially in the fintech space, trying to figure out how we can help these university athletic departments kind of close that gap. And so we got approached by a group from Alabama, and they come from many different backgrounds, but the thing that unites them all is their passion for college football. And they gave us this vision of, hey, regardless, $10 billion in the next 10 years is going to come flooding into this industry and into this space. How do we get on the ground floor of this thing, beyond the knife's edge, and bring a new lens of what it means as a fan to support the schools that you love and that you go gangbusters for every single game day, whether that's a Saturday in college football or the month of March, you know, as March Madness approaches in just a few months. So what GameChange has been able to do is leverage the Harness Card-Linked Engagement Platform and build a program, what we dub internally as PrizeLink Giving. And so from a fan, all you have to do is go to the GameChange website, gogamechange.com, select your school, add any Visa or MasterCard. And from that very next purchase you make after sign up, you will be participating in one of the largest 50-50 sweepstakes that is launched on a national scale. And so how the product works is every time you make a purchase after sign up, we'll round up that purchase to the next dollar. Half of that roundup will go directly to support your athletic department. And the other half will go into this 50-50 prize pool that's granting out thousands of prizes in real time. It can be Fanatics cash. It can be Home Depot gift cards, Target gift cards, flight vouchers from the top airlines. What we want to do is embody the fan experience. So no matter what you're doing on game day, you are remembering how you're supporting these schools as your day-to-day life goes on.
There's kind of an episode. So as you were talking, and I had gone there yesterday, too, as I was kind of poking around this before the episode. But as you were talking, I typed in gogamechange.com. And of course, as you say, it looks exactly that way. I can sign up. There you go. Top five schools by enrolled users right now are, based on everything you've said, University of Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Clemson, and Texas A&M. And all that means is that the other schools need to get their shoes on, get on their horse, and get some more people enrolled, right?
I think that's correct. And this is a spin I really love of how they've leveraged our platform to create something a little net new, right? They're trying to drive fan engagements, and we'll talk about that, you know, in a little bit, I think. But this whole competitive giving aspect, I think, is really neat because teams are competing on the field. Now fans can compete from their seats. And the more engagement you have in this program, the more you're able to up-level your school. And this is a fantastic foundation from, you know, a brand standpoint as well of how brands get involved and participate in this competitive giving platform that they're setting up.
Commerce Code is brought to you in part by VantageScore. 8 of the top 10 banks and over 3,400 leading banks and fintechs use VantageScore to predict and manage repayment risk. Learn more about the latest advances in credit scoring and how to grow your lending business by leveraging financial inclusion at VantageScore.com.
Not that I'm not listening to every word you say, but I'm about two-thirds of the way through the enrollment process right now. So it looks like it's basically D1 schools, right? So I just typed in the word Minnesota. That's where I live and am. And I got two of the, or maybe the only two Minnesota schools that like have the word Minnesota in them, I guess, is what it came down to. And so they came up. But I could be wrong about that. Is it D2 and D3 schools too, or is it starting focused on D1?
So the GameChange launched with supporting all D1 schools. The university feedback and college feedback has been immaculate. It's just been overwhelming, to be honest. So we've quickly moved to help them gain support across D2 and D3 schools as well. And so I think within the next 30 or 45 days, you should see full eligibility from any D1 through D3 school.
Cool. That makes total sense. I'm not going to actually plug in my credit card number while we're on the podcast, although that's how far I got. So we're making good progress. That's cool. I just wanted to, you know, look, easy is a really important part of success. And it's just kind of fun to these days. You can just be like, oh, I can go there. I can give it a try. Terrific. I mean, that's very interesting. And yeah, I'll just say as an aside, actually, an interesting thing to me, a smaller part, I guess, well, I don't know how small it is, of this kind of sports finance thing came up in a conversation with somebody. I was talking about Olympic sports, how it gets flooded. The United States has a different model than most other countries. It turns out that the kind of like the exhaust, you know, the cash and resources exhaust of revenue positive Division I sports has been a part of funding the U.S. Olympic program. And that's another thing that's just going to have to figure it out, because that's not going to be the same going forward. So there's a lot of stuff that's changing right now in that sports area. And I think as a guy whose parents went to university in Canada and went to college in the States, but foreigners are puzzled by all of it. But, you know, there you are, right? It is what it is, how it is in America. So I wanted to do a little bit of nerd talk, and I think you covered this, but like the machinery, I guess, for Harness in terms of what you create and what you do, you can, as you said, and as I saw in the interface here, that's the part I'm not going to do while we're on the line. You can support any MasterCard or Visa or do any card.
That's correct. Visa and MasterCard. There are two card linking network partners.
So what's the machinery you have to put together in terms of, you know, in terms of the payments platforms to make the whole thing work for this? And I know that that's essential to like everything Harness does. And I'm not sure that Game Change is necessarily different. It sort of sits in an ecosystem that you've already created, right?
Yeah. I love the tee up here because, you know, this is a very specific application of the platform that we've been able to develop. And, you know, when I say card linked engagement platform, there's really two pillars of it. One is embedded fintech, really the connectivity to the networks and the card issuers direct. We have a growing division working directly with credit unions, community banks, some of the regional banks as well. So the connectivity to the card data itself, a transaction engine that sits on top of that data to allow us to calculate the different value of the programs that we're building, right? So it's a roundup in the Game Change case. It could be a percentage of every transaction. It can be a fixed amount per transaction. So the engine that writes the rules for the program. And then I think something that goes unnoticed is really on the back end from a ledger standpoint and a payments compliance standpoint. When we're working with big institutions, 501c3s, there's a lot of compliance and reporting that goes into being able to support all of these institutions at scale. So from an embedded fintech and payment standpoint, that's how we've hardened ourselves such that we can create now these bespoke experiences for any of the partners that want to come on board. The second part of the platform is really the content delivery system. And this is like the fun part, right? This is the part that really greases my wheels, consumer behavior. How do you drive engagement? And so we've got different things that we've built into this delivery system. The first is that sweepstakes engine. So what we've done really is made every swipe of the card deliver a drip of dopamine to the cardholder. So when you are engaging with the Game Change program, legitimately, as soon as the barista swipes your card at the coffee shop, you have the chance to get a video dropped to your phone or pick up a gift card from the prize pool or get a ticket to the next volleyball game because there's capacity in the volleyball game that evening, right? We are the delivery system to ingest all of this content and get it to cardholders in real time. And when you can do it in real time, that's pretty much as close to instant redemption as you can possibly get. And I think that's a huge value add too for the ecosystem of issuers as well, is the fact that you're able to get these rewards into consumer hands and not have to bank on points-based loyalty constructs, which we know, and there's growing evidence of, that those things are not actually driving the loyalty due to the lack of redemption activity that occurs along those constructs.
It's fungible, right? Points are, you know, points a point to point. And so there's some functional advantages to that, but it's not like distinctive. I mean, you know, your story of, and this will require over time, I'm sure, engagement with the programs, with the, you know, with the actual universities or whoever they appoint to help them with this kind of stuff. But like, you'll have a much more, when you were telling that story, I was, because I'm on the verge of, you know, as I've said, signing up with University of St. Thomas is up here in Minnesota, and I teach the occasional class at the law school. And so, like, I'll just do them. They were one of the things, you know, and they have a D1 program and they've got like a hockey team and all this kind of stuff. And so I can easily imagine that, you know, you can keep yourself busy for a long time building out like the kind of options, the richness, the engagement. You'll be able to see A/B testing, whatever, like what works, what doesn't, are tickets popular, or is swag popular, or some other thing popular. Like, you can see all that, you know, from your guys' perspective down the road. The point is those things are distinctive, right? Like, they're particular to a brand that by revealed preferences somebody already, you know, likes. And then you can have like stuff in there. And I could see that a lot of that could work pretty well. Certainly like the tickets idea and all that sort of thing, where it could be just a net positive for everybody. Just briefly on, is there any kind of particular angle on this for kind of retailers or card issuers in terms of why this is more interesting than other programs too?
Yeah, you know, I think what a retailer is really looking for, a targeted consumer base. And so the power of Affinity, again, I just can't understate. And obviously, you know, I'm the one making the Kool-Aid on Affinity, so I'm obviously drinking it too. But I just think that there's so many headwinds facing us as a population, and everything you read in the news cycle is how divided we are, et cetera. And I have an inkling of that's why when it comes to Saturdays and Sundays and we are rallying as fans across a common goal, and that's your team destroying the other team, like there's something special with Affinity and what happens in those moments. And for a retailer to be able to tap into that, I think that's really exciting, or could be very exciting as these types of programs continue to prove themselves. And if you look at just, you know, you'll be able to see on that website, the prize composition. I mean, that prize pool was set very specifically. We wanted to meet the fans where they're at. So the Fanatics cash, well, every year coming into a season, you want your school's new kit, right? How do you actually engage while the sport is happening? Well, if you're at home watching, you're ordering pizzas and you're ordering takeout and wings. So a bunch of Domino's gift cards and Uber Eats gift cards have made their way into the prize pool. You know, maybe you're a super fan and you actually want to travel to all the away games. Well, that's why we've got Southwest gift cards and hotels.com gift cards. So you can travel with your team, right? So these have been prescriptively added to this pool such that they mimic actually how a fan engages with their favorite teams, such that all of these types of brands in the future can subliminally enter a fan's mind, right? This is, we know you and where you're going to be and skating you to that puck well before you even have the time to make that decision for yourself.
That's cool. I lied when I said I wasn't gay because I didn't have to type in the thing. And so like I clicked on it and it just automatically popped up with, so now I have a visa enrolled for St. Thomas. It's a done deal.
Oh, thank you.
So there you go. I didn't type it. I didn't type the digits in, but I didn't have to. And then boom, I'm done. Okay. So that's interesting. And I will see how that one goes. Go Tommies. They just became a D1 program, by the way. They were kind of kicked out of a D3 conference because they were too good. And then they had to figure out what to do with themselves. So, you know, there you are. Okay, so that's terrific. And then I think we've talked about kind of like this timing aspect, like why is this, you know, the right moment? And it's interesting that you were approached by some folks, and not surprisingly, from Alabama, you know, so that all makes sense to me. You know, one of the things though, we all in business world naturally are going to talk about things that have gone well, but I'm curious, like what lessons you've learned or what was hard or what's been challenging about this. I mean, if it was easy to do this, like this is just true of everything in life, right? If it was easy to do this, somebody else would have done it first. And so what's been kind of challenging about this?
The uncertainty brings so many challenges about, you know, NIL collectives versus university athletic departments versus red tape within the universities themselves versus our athletic departments set up as 501c3s, our NIL collectives set up as 501c3s. So I think the biggest thing that's preventative to most is the uncertainty. But I do believe that there's an advantage of being in the middle of this and being on the ground floor and being on the knife's edge of really, as these things get solidified, and our thesis internally, and I know this is shared by the Game Change folks, is these universities have been around for hundreds of years. This is where the puck is going to be. So how do we go there and how do we really solve some of those problems? And how do we take a look at what pro sports have done over the past 15 to 20 years? And I think that's where the puck is going, is there's going to be a lot of the same opportunity that pro sports have been able to bring into their leagues that the NCAA and collegiate sports will be able to fast follow into now that this tide has turned. And we know it's inevitable that college athletes will be paid. And, you know, now even a firm dollar amount of just how much money these schools can start to compete with each other on. And we just got to make sure we save and preserve all the great things about college athletics, because it's not just about football. It's not just about basketball. It's about the Caitlin Clarks of the world, you know, who put the work in, who grinded their way through, who wouldn't have an opportunity if the universities weren't funding women's Title IX sports, right? So how, like, that's the reason, that's the why, right? Is how do we preserve something that has been such a great thing for society? And that's the development of young people through athletic programs from grade school all the way through collegiate sports.
People like to complain about things in life in general. That's how humans are. And so people are always going to sit around and complain about, like, oh, it should be different, this or that. And certainly D1 sports and kind of the role of money and all that kind of thing has been a perpetual source of that kind of conversation in barbershops or wherever. But of course, the fact that people never stop talking about it is just, I think, deep evidence that it's not going away. Like our interest in it, if you didn't care, right? If it was a sort of an over in the corner that people didn't care about, but they had a beef with, they just wouldn't bother. It is a safe bet that people are going to continue to be committed to this whole thing. And I think based on just all the numbers that I've seen, you know, there will be more energy and effort and et cetera going into sports generally, college sports for sure across, you know, the coming years. So that also makes sense. And you're absolutely right. Like 99% of the college athletes in the country will probably never be on other than maybe like, you know, maybe a live streamed internet broadcast, but they'll never be on a broadcast, right? And yet, I think, and for what it's worth, Dan's opinion, I think sports and academics are a really, really good symbiotic fit. Like, it's a good thing to be involved in sports while you're also trying to look at a book all day. And for what it's worth, nerd point, college athletes on average have higher grades. Actually, that's not the story that you hear. And it might not be true in any individual case, but on average, college athletes have higher grades and more success in school because it's healthy. Well, look, this is a terrific conversation. I promised that I would end with this, and it's an important question. Where do you think this thing is? And this like totally calls for speculation because it could be anywhere. But like, if you had to imagine, what do you imagine 2 to 3 years from now looks like?
Yeah, I think we're just scratching the surface, right? I think there's like a huge opportunity to redefine the fan experience and, you know, really build engaging programs for fans so that you screaming at the top of your lungs every Saturday at this screen, you can feel rewarded, you know, for the support you give to these top schools. And so I think there's so many tailwinds that we can ride with this new legislation coming into effect where universities can indeed pay their athletes. And how do we actually capture that and do it in a way that isn't predatory to the fan population? Like, you've got schools adding taxes to tickets now and talent fee, you know, a 10% talent fee here and there. And it's really predatory to the fans themselves. So how can you thank fans for being fans? Let them just participate and, again, engage with these schools. And there's just a lot of work to be done to create, you know, all-encompassing type of fan experience program. And I think that's what I'm so excited for, because the opportunity is going to be there. It's just, how do we solve, you know, this puzzle of what I as a fan can feel rewarded for, and how my actions when it comes to financial technology can make me feel part of a larger collective. So yeah, I think it's just going to be exciting, and 2 to 3 years is going to go super fast if the last 2 to 3 were indicative of anything.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in 2 to 3 years, there's going to be more, there'll be some areas of equilibrium where it's like, okay, it's clear that this is here. So for example, use some examples of like, you know, taxes on this or talent fees or whatever. And in a couple of years, we're going to probably know, like, some of those things will have died, I assume. Some of those things will have been proven to work or work well enough or whatever. And so I think, you know, right now is a moment of like, who knows? I kind of like didn't pay attention for a minute to sort of the evolution. I watched through the corner of my eye at, you know, some of the antitrust rulings and some of this stuff with I didn't pay close attention. And then when I really looked at it about a year ago, I was like, wait, what? Holy cow. Like, just tons of stuff that, you know, because we went through a period, you know, long, like decades, when things didn't, in a sense, didn't really change in college sports. And now just the massive amounts of change means that I would say there really isn't a whole lot of equilibrium currently. But to your point, it's going to move fast. And we're going to have, I think, a rapid sense in some areas, you know, of what's working, what's not. Game change looks awfully good to me as being something that makes it, you know, into the kind of stable equilibrium of the future. Once these things get worked out, it makes sense to have this. And there's always going to need to be both engagement from fans, but also support from fans. So thanks for the great conversation, Miraj. Appreciate it. Best of luck with all the work you're doing at Harness, Game Change, and everything else. And thanks for coming on Commerce Code.
Thanks so much for having me, Dan. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to continue to update you on the progress here. There's some exciting things ahead.
Commerce Code is sponsored by Pentadata, the all-in-one financial data API. Whether it is bank account data, credit card transaction data, or credit reports and credit scores, Pentadata has it all in one simple and easy-to-use API. With coverage of over 6,000 banks, over 200 million credit files, and 60 million merchants, you can get all the data you need for your apps at pentadatainc.com. Commerce Code is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you conversations with executives who are leading the way in digital commerce. If you like Commerce Code, your company should join the Digital Commerce Alliance and become part of our mission of advancing trade for good through standard setting, industry networking, conferences, and best practice sharing. Check out our website at www.digcomall.org. On behalf of DCA, have a great week.